Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? Oh, good. Let's get this thing out of here. I was going to wear a lapel mic, and I totally forgot. So I will be throwing a football today. And if you don't catch it, then that's on you. All right. I'm going to tell you right now. All right. Because I'm pretty much an incredible quarterback. So just kidding. I'm not that good. Everybody doing good today? If you're online, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us today. And I'm going to preface today for all the men in the place and watching online. We're going to call each other out today, all right? So I'm just preparing us as men. I believe the Holy Spirit's got a little bit of a vein today to get us as godly men what he's called us to be in our households and in our community. So it's not all that today, but I'm just... As men, sometimes it's nice to be prepared when you're going to get slapped in the face by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? You can laugh at that. Don't worry. I'm not going to physically slap you. Don't worry. I don't think. We'll see what happens. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, we'll see what happens. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Esther. Esther chapter 4, and these papers are going to come off of here anyway, so I'm going to move these. Shout out to our media team. They're running a little bit of a skeleton crew today, so thank you, everybody. Dom, Nick, Jessica, Roger's downstairs. Cassidy hopped on the camera after offering Christian chicken. If you don't know what that means, that's code word for Chick-fil-A, all right? So that's what we call Chick-fil-A is Christian chicken. But I love this passage in Esther. This is in Esther chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 13 here in just a minute. And if you don't know the story of Esther, you are missing out. And you're going to have an awesome week in the Word this week, okay? You should read Esther. If you've never read Esther, this week you should do it, okay? There are so many incredible nuggets in the Bible, but in Esther... There are numerous ones, okay? And if you don't know the story, Esther is a Jew, and the kingdom of Israel at this point has been taken over, and the leader takes on Esther as a wife. And it's beautiful. It's written so great. There's like a bad guy that you hate. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's like bad guys in movies. You're like, man, I just kind of hope he dies, you know? Is that not Christian? Well, oh well, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you watch a movie, there's a bad guy, you're like, there's other bad guys, you're like, well, I kind of like, I feel for him, you know? And then there's other bad guys, you're like, that's just a bad dude, you know? He deserves. Anyway. Haman is that kind of bad guy. He's like the bad guy you're like, I hope this guy doesn't win, all right? Spoiler alert, he does not win. He loses big time, all right, in a very ironic way. And so Haman is this bad dude, and he hates the Jews, the whole Jewish nation, and he wants to kill them. And so he... puts this plot together, gets these decrees, goes and puffs up the feathers of the king, right, and gets his way and gets the king to sign the papers. And Mordecai, who is Esther's uncle, finds out about it. He reaches out to Esther and tells her, hey, this is going on. You are the one that is in position to change this, okay? That's important for today, all right? She was the one that at that moment in time was in position to do something about it. Did you hear me today? She was the one that was in position to do something about it. And let's read this today in Esther chapter 4, verse 13. And this is Mordecai talking to Esther Because Esther's like, hey, I can't just go before the king. Because if I go before the king and he doesn't want to see me, he could just have me executed. What a wild time to be alive. Woo. If you ever are like, man, our government, you just like read this, like, thank the Lord, all right? In verse 13, this is Mordecai speaking to Esther because she's like, I'm not too sure about this. Then Mordecai told this as a reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, catch this today, this is powerful, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe a lot of us have heard this. I mean, we teach a lot on Esther here. And this is a profound moment because Mordecai is saying to her, hey, if you don't, I have faith and know that God will still deliver us. But you are the one that is in a position to do something about this. And so you should. And if for 1 minute you think that Mordecai was like, just send Esther to the wolves, we'll see what happens. Mordecai raised Esther, okay? You can read about this in Esther. He loved her. He cherished her. He helped mold the woman that she became. And he knew what was in her. And more importantly, he knew his God. And so this is so important, I believe, today. And I bring this up because, I don't know about you, but I like some meat to get into during the week. And so this is your extra meat if you want to get into it this week. You can read Esther, and I believe it will speak to you in an even more powerful way of what we're going to talk about today. But I want you to catch that today, that she was in a position to do something about it. If you are in a position to stand for God in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to tell you today, you should. And many times it's easy to say, you know what, well, someone else will. And I will tell you that, yeah, that may be true, but shouldn't it be you if you are in that position? I would say absolutely. And I'll prove it to you today. Don't worry, all right? I'm just going to say random things, all right? That wouldn't be good. Let's pray today. Lord, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we honor your voice in this house. Whatever you want to do, do. We open up our hearts and our minds to you, our spirits to you today, and say, speak to us, rearrange what you got to rearrange. We ask that you soften our hearts today to hear your voice and hear your word. We thank you, God, that your word is truth, period. We acknowledge it today. We will not be wayward. We will not be lukewarm. We will stand for you no matter the cost. We thank you, Father, for the honor and the privilege of coming here freely in this nation to worship you, to join together, to proclaim your word. And Lord, right now, just join with me. Let's just pray over our nation. Lord, right now, we just lift up our nation to you. We thank you, God, for the freedoms that have been paid for in blood for us. We thank you, God, for our president, the leadership, and we thank you, God, that you are using our nation as a light to the world. And Lord, we just speak over our nation right now, the leaders. We pray that you would lead them, you guide them, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit guidance in all of them. And we speak to the church right now, Lord, that as we rise up, Lord, that we would be the truth that sets people free, your word would stand firm and be set up on high to speak to people, Father. We thank you, Lord. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Never stop praying for the nation. Amen. For your leaders. That's something that we have to be vigilant as a church. don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy to be like, man, I just wish people would do the right thing. But then I don't stop and realize that I'm not praying for it, or sometimes I'm not standing up in the places that I'm at. So don't be a hypocrite. All right. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's do this. 1 Corinthians 12. Go there. So this scripture, this is Paul. Paul talks a lot about the body, all right? If you read Corinthians, if you read Ephesians, he talks a lot and uses a parallel of the body, which is good because we all have a body. Are you all aware of your body right now? Is everyone aware of your body? If you have to, just do a little one of these, okay? And you can be aware of your body, all right? How many of you are a little bit more aware of your body at different times of your life, okay? Right? All right? I do construction, and so sometimes there are certain days when I'm up and down a ladder all day, and at the end of the day, I'm a little bit more aware of my body, right? Okay? All right? One time when I was, hammering some nails for some of the first times learning how to, nail in joist hangers, if you've ever done that, sorry, all right? And, I was very aware of my body when I missed the nail and hit my finger with my brand new hammer. You know, a brand new hammer when you're framing has this really, Jack's like shaking his head like, I've been there, man. You know, when you get a brand new framing hammer, it's pretty and it has this this texture that's on the head of the hammer. And it's, you think you're really cool. You show up to a job site, you're like, I got this brand new hammer. And all the guys are like, yeah, why don't you go do some hangers, joist hangers, right? And if you don't know, they're like, yeah. Because that, when you hit your finger with a smooth face hammer, it hurts. When you hit your finger with a brand new hammer that has that texture on it, yikes, all right? Very aware of my body in those moments, all right? Yeah. Just making sure you're aware of your body. Everybody aware? All right, you're aware. All right, good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. All right. So all of you are aware of your bodies, and you all have different parts of your bodies, all right? Raise your right hand. Boom, that's a member, okay? Wink, that's a member, okay? Your right foot is a member, okay? You got it, everybody? I love it. Paul just is like, I'm going to make this simple for you, okay? So he says, also it is with Christ, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So it's saying that Christ is one body. We are all a part of Christ. When we give our lives to Jesus, we enter the kingdom of God, all right? And we are now a part of that to be used by God. Everybody got that? Cool. Let's read on. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, is that creepy? We've talked about this. Every time I read, I just think of like a VeggieTale, VeggieTales. I just think of a giant eye. It's creepy. And then I put like little cartoon legs on it and cartoon arms. It's so bizarre. Anyway, okay. Mind of Brandon. It's a weird place up there sometimes, yo. All right. If the whole body were an ear, also weird, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. That is a pivotal scripture of today. It's a pivotal scripture of the Word of God, too. Did you all hear that? God arrange the members. That's good for someone today, because when you give your life to Jesus, God places you in a spot that he wants you to be in, that he created you to be in, that in Psalms it says he knit you together before you were even in your mother's womb. He prepared you for such a time as this to be a part of his body and to function in a specific way. That's a beautiful thing, because everyone in the world is searching for one very main thing. And there are maybe other things they're searching for, but one of the main things they're looking for is a purpose. Why do I exist? Why am I here? And the beautiful thing is, as Christians, we have the answer. That when you give your life to Jesus, you then become a part of something bigger than just yourself. Praise the Lord. That is eternal. Isn't that cool? The things that we do here on this earth for the kingdom of God will echo in eternity. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? So the things that you do long term will affect the kingdom of God. It will affect other people and other members of the body that you are a part of. Amen? And if you ever feel like, man, I just don't know if I belong, if I'm there, this is an answer to those feelings. Because I want to tell you today, those are feelings. But the truth, everybody catch me today? The truth is, Jesus has a specific spot for you in his body to function right now. And don't you just love God? That it doesn't say here, you got to, read the Bible 17 times. You got to go to Bible college, all right? You've got to, go to church 17,000 times before you can enter his body. Come on, somebody. When you give your life to Jesus, he says, bam, let's go. Let's go. He's looking for people that are open vessels and willing. And I'm just going to speak for just a moment to maybe a new Christian in the place, and also to a Christian that is maybe seasoned. But isn't it interesting sometimes that somebody that is a new Christian gets saved, they are so zealous for the house of God. They are so zealous for the things of God. They are like, they're so hungry. And have you ever witnessed maybe somebody that is seasoned? Like, whoa, calm down, bucko. I know you're excited, all right, but we got some pragmatical things that we need to talk about and meet about and do. I am guilty of that. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 6 years old. My mom led me to Jesus. I remember it like it was yesterday, and it was a profound moment in my life. And I've served God for a very long time. And still there are moments when somebody comes to know Jesus and it's like they're so zealous, it scares me. And why does it scare me? Because it reminds me that I've forsaken my first love. And so I say that for those of us that are seasoned, let's not forsake our first love. Let's be zealous for the things of God. Let's love the things of God. And that when somebody enters into the body and is excited and wants to go do some stuff, let that be an excitement to us. And let's come alongside them and empower them. You know, I love a young Christian because they come in and they just kind of like, it's like an AK-47. You know what I'm talking about? And I love that. I'm like, let's go. You know, I kind of get pumped up a little bit. I'm like, yeah, let's, wait, I've got one in the back. All right. It's a little dusty. Just give me a minute. Right. I'm like, all right, let's go. Right. I'm like, all right, let's get a bazooka. Let's see what happens. You know, sometimes it's good. You know, the things of God, when the Holy Spirit moves, just a reminder, it can get a little messy sometimes, all right? And not in a bad way when I say that. If you think that I'm saying that in a bad way, I'm not. But the Holy Spirit moves according to the people, all right? And so it's important to recognize the Holy Spirit will meet people where they're at. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And connect with people in ways you're like, wow, I would not have guessed that that's the way. But for those of you that are seasoned in your relationship with God, I want to say we need you too, because there's a balance that's so crucial and important in those moments. So yes, we come alongside those people, and maybe you will dust off your AK-47, but maybe you'll reveal to them, hey, have you ever heard of a sniper rifle? You know what I'm talking about? What is that Dirty Harry line? That 357? Yeah, I'm like butchering it really bad. You guys know what I'm talking about? Who knows that line? Somebody knows what I'm talking about? 357? Anyway, whatever. It's not important. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, and you're saying it's okay. Sniper rifle, though. Okay? Zero in. Teaching people, hey, this is how you zero in on a target and you accomplish the things that God has called you to do. The things that God has put on you, the skill sets, the personality traits, the all of these things, your testimony, they're there for a reason. Let's learn how to hone those skill sets and make you an incredible operator for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so it's finding those balance. But without that, if all we had was 500,000 brand new Christians, it would get a little crazy, right? Because we need that strength alongside of us. Like, I need people that know more than I do, right? And it's also important for me to be able to lead people that maybe don't know as much as I do. Because there are ways that that sharpens us in all kinds of different ways. Iron sharpens iron, right? We know that scripture, all right? Just as another man sharpens another man, so does iron sharpens iron. So it's important to recognize as a body the importance of our position. And so I would ask today, what is your position today in the body of Christ? What is your position? You know, for Esther, you know, we read the book of Esther, and it was really clear. You ever read the Bible like, how are you not seeing this? You ever read the Bible like that? Especially the Israelites, like, oh my gosh, you guys are doing it again, all right? You're just dumb. You're really, really dumb, all right? And if you broaden the scope for a minute, you're like, man, you know what? I get it. I've been there. I've done that. Wow. And so for Esther, we see this moment where Mordecai helps define this moment, like, what about this? This is your position. You can do something about it. Why don't you? And I would say to all of us in the church, there are places we know it's very clear that is our position. We should do something about it. So if we aren't, why not? Why not? And I want to just say to you, run the play today. So I got this football. Who's feeling feisty today? Somebody feeling like they can catch a football today? All right? Corbin, you feeling like you can catch a football today? All right, let's go. So she's your Mordecai right now, is what just happened. All right. She's like, you were just such a, why don't you stand up for a second, Corbin? Kim, you volunteered them, all right? You're like, bro, don't. She's like, you can't see this on live stream right now, but she's like, I hope that Brandon is actually a good thrower. All right, why don't you catch this ball? You ready, Corbin? All right. Beautiful. So did you guys see that? You guys online didn't, but I mean, it was an amazing feat. I was like, we've played football for our whole life, all right? But I threw the football to Corbin. He was ready for it, and he caught the football. Incredible. Okay, throw it back. Okay, we're going to try this again. All right, Corbin. Maybe you should stand like right here for this one. Yeah, like just right, maybe right where Miss Ralph is, right there. Yeah, good. All right, turn around, back towards me. Cool. All right, I want you to catch the ball. Bro, if you didn't see that on live stream, Corbin did not complete the pass. All right, his back was towards me. Thanks, bro. Thanks. You can sit down. That was awesome. Okay. Was anybody confused why Corbin did not catch the ball? Why did Corbin not catch the ball? Because his back was turned to me. This is a very, very, very simple analogy today, but it hits home for all of us, okay? Like, are you ready for the play? Have you ever watched football before? And the quarterback's like, blue 42, 7, 4, 6, and he gets hit in the face. You ever seen that before? And everybody's just like, we don't know what happened, but that was not supposed to happen, right? Something didn't go right, okay? The play that was called in the huddle, there was some sort of miscommunication, and somebody wasn't ready like they were supposed to be, right? Anybody ever watched a football game? And it was like, it's like the coach on the offensive team said, everyone look away from this one defensive player, okay? Don't watch him, right? They hike the ball, and he just comes flying. Like, no one ever saw him, and he just crushes the quarterback, right? You ever seen that before? That's what we would call blown coverage, right? Someone missed the block, but probably what happened is the coach maybe didn't draw up a plan right, didn't draw up the play right. Something happened, some sort of miscommunication, and people just weren't ready. I'm going to probably butcher this, and somebody could probably help me. I believe this was North Carolina football team, and I forget the coach, so forgive me. But I remember him saying to his team when they were starting, if everybody does their job today, we'll do great. All you got, who was it? Mack Brown. Thanks. Thanks, Matt. I figured you'd probably know, yeah. And he says to his team, they're starting off the season, he's coming in as the new coach for the team, the starting season. We've been practicing, we've been preparing. If everybody, all you've got to do is your job. And if you do your job to the best of your ability, then we'll do great today. And I would say the same to all of us as a church. You know, if we all did our job well, if you are unpleased with the church in America today, look in the mirror. If you are displeased with the church of America or the church of the world today, or Christians or church or whatever, religion, I would say look in the mirror. Because the reality is you are a part of it if you want to be. If you want to be, you can be a part of it. You can be a part of every hike. You can be a part of every huddle. You can play a role every play, and you can make a difference. And today, I feel like the Holy Spirit, as he speaks this message for all of us, is stirring our hearts, stirring something up and saying, yeah, there's definitely some things that I need to be doing, that I'm not doing. And many times, if I may, in church, and this church is very, there's so many people volunteering and serving all the time. We're doing all these outreaches, and those things are incredible things, okay? Our church is doing all of these outreaches, but it's not always about what we are, quote unquote, doing. Does that make sense? Many times it's our mindset and our hearts that need to be aligned with the Word of God, because How many of you know, I would almost call Sunday morning as kind of a huddle, okay? Everybody got that today? I would almost call Sunday morning as like a huddle. We get together. We should be celebrating all that God has done the last 7 days. We're coming together. We're celebrating. We're hearing testimonies. We're like, dude, I talked to this dude at the gas station, and he was hurting, and the Holy Spirit opened up this door, and I spoke to him, and like we prayed right then and there, all right? Like, it was crazy. You should have seen it. Oh yeah, you think that was awesome? Let me tell you about this, right? And we should be sharing. Why? Because that is something that stirs us up, right? Gets us excited. And then we go out and we play during the week. And there's nothing wrong with doing serving in the church. But I would just say, if your identity is wrapped up in what you do, I want to remind you that your identity is in Jesus Christ, okay? Did everybody catch that today? And I need a refining of that all the time. Because he'd be like, well, I do stuff, you know? Well, whoopity-doo-dah, all right? Whoopity-doo-dah, all right? Like, there are people that have done way more, like, way more than any of us, right? Why? Because this understood their position and they just did it. One of the most profound things that I ever heard that, you know, have you ever heard a pastor preach and you were like, they were getting ready to tell something, you're like, this is going to be the best nugget ever, and they tell you something like, I didn't actually want to hear that, you know? You're like, it would have been better if you said something else. It was like a little bit better, didn't you? You were waiting for this profound moment, you're like, ah. And there's this guy, Bill Winston, worked for Tommy Barnett for years, helped run the bus ministry for Tommy Barnett, went to New York, started biggest kids ministry in America. Bill what? Wilson. Oh, man, yeah. Needed a lot of your help today. Yeah, Bill Wilson. He ran, and it was known as the biggest kids ministry in America for years. Okay? A single man in his, I think, probably at his time, 40s or 50s, all right? And they would go pick up kids all throughout New York in buses and bring them to church. Like the most unassuming person, okay? If you ever met Bill Wilson, you'd be like, there's no way that guy's a kids pastor. Am I right? If you ever, I remember hearing him speak, I was like, this dude, there is no way. This guy like is like, he's like Delta Force, right? This guy gives you Delta Force vibes, all right? All right? And the dude was a kids pastor, right? And I'll never forget, he's like, you know, a lot of people ask me like, when did I get the call? When did I get the call to be a kids pastor, to ministry? He said, I'm going to tell you right now, I never got called. I just saw a need, and I met it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I had my notebook ready. I was like, the call. Here it is, baby. All right. If anybody would know, this guy would know. You know what I'm talking about? Here it is. Here's the meat, you know? And he's like, and he says that, and I'm just like, dang it. That means I'm going to have to do something, right? That means I'm going to have to be out there so that I can see a need. Come on, somebody. Because if I'm in my home, sitting on my recliner, watching TV, the need is not going to knock on my door. The need is not going to knock on my door. I'm going to have to get out there to see a need. And then I'm going to have to be brave enough, courageous enough to get out of my comfort zone to start exploring how I can meet that need. Because I'm pretty sure, like, Tony Barnes, have you all met Tony Barnes? I'm pretty sure when God put on your heart to start Victory Writing Academy, it wasn't like, oh, I got all the details. I know exactly how this is going to work, right? Actually, no, at the early stages, it was not like that at all. But there was a need that the Holy Spirit put on your and Jody's hearts that was like burning a hole in your chest. That I saw. Still see it. And that is the kind of thing that can drive you to places you never thought you would be for God. Do things that you never thought you could do for God. Be a part of things you never thought that you would be a part of for God. Be in the room with people you never thought you would be in the room with because of God. You'll find people are attracted to that. People are attracted, especially people that have never experienced Jesus in a revelation kind of type way. Maybe they went to church, maybe they experienced a religion, but people that have never experienced Jesus, when they meet somebody like that and they find out the source, because a lot of people, they'll be like, what is going on with this person? Right? What is going on? What's your deal? What are you doing? Anybody ever gotten that before? What are you doing? I get that a lot, probably because I'm weird, but, right? I was at Lowe's the other day. I was shopping. I was getting a few things for a job, and I started talking to this guy, and he's like, so what's your deal? Are you like what's going on? And he's like, are you Latter-day Saints or something, or what's going on? I'm like, no, I just love Jesus a lot. He's like, that makes sense. It's all over you. And I was like, that's the coolest thing you could have ever seen. I just like, want to hug him for a minute, all right? But people should be saying that all the time because they're identifying something that's not a normal human being behavior because it's not of this world, right? The Bible speaks that you are not of this world, all right? When you give your life to Jesus, you're a new creation. Let people see the new creation. Let people see the change that has happened in you. Okay? Now, I told the guys that we'd step on each other's toes for a minute, so let's do it, all right? When I say each other, I'm going to step on my toes too, all right? So don't worry. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, this is for the men. Women, you can say amen, but if your man's sitting right next to you, maybe just hold the phone for a minute, all right? All right? So just be gracious, okay? Because if they're like, wow, okay. But this is Ephesians chapter 5. And why is this so important? Because, men, we got to be men, all right? We live in a world right now where men are, let's just be real, men are trying to find, in my opinion right now, okay, this wasn't true maybe a few years, but I see a lot of men trying to find a handhold on the truth. Did you hear me today? They want to be a good man. I think there's a lot of men, they want to be a good man. They just don't know how. They don't have an example. They're not in church. They're not reading their Bible. They're not exposing themselves to truth. They're exposing themselves to all this other stuff on social media that's a complete lie, okay? And taking them down a completely different direction. And you got all these guys that are like, you know, that aren't following the way of God, but are trying to act like they're tough men and doing all these things. They're just playing a man, but doing a bunch of boy things. And so the importance of being a man of God has never been more clear. If you are a man, if you are a man in the place today, I'm going to tell you one of your biggest positions that you have is to be a godly man and be proud of it. That's one of the greatest things that we can do. And being proud of something is not being afraid of something. Being afraid of what God has called you to be for your family, for your wife, for your kids. And if you're a single man, we need you just the same way because you hold that same place in the church, in the body of Christ. We need you as well. So this is not just for, well, you know, I don't have a family yet, so I'll think about that when I get there. Man, think about it right now. And you're going to be so much farther along than a lot of us in the room. And all the men said, amen to that, because we know. I wish I would have thought about some of the things that I think about today. Please, right? And so this scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own, what does it say? Bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now you can read more. Women, you can read. You've got a part in that to play as well. It's very important. And I want to make this very well, very, very known, very strongly today. Because this is, to me, a great, what we're talking about as a body is so important, especially in a marriage, okay? When we talk about the body, when we talked about it in 1 Corinthians 12, was there any part that said one body member is better than the other? Is there any part that said one body member is more important than the other? This is true in marriage. Did you all hear me today? Because this is one of the, like, the biggest things where this scripture gets all whacked out, okay? Because a man can read this and say, I'm pretty much better than the woman, all right? So I'm more important than the woman, all right? And so I'm going to rise to that level, and I'm going to be an awesome leader, and you just kind of start it off a little skewed, all right? And how many know that if you start off a little skewed, you can get off long term, way off. Okay? Y'all hear what I'm saying? If I start off straight and walk straight, okay, if I turn just this much and I walk 3 miles from my point of origin, I'm going to be way off. Everybody got me there? All right? It doesn't take much. Okay? And that's part of what you're seeing in society. Okay? So let's get back on track. Everybody got me? And so, men, it's a responsibility. And women, you have a responsibility, too, in that scripture, all right? You can read about it right before that, okay? And some of you are like, why aren't we reading it? Because I'm talking to the men, okay? And so, men, for us, it's important to recognize that we have a position to play. So play it. It says that we as men are to serve and love our wives just like Christ loved the church. And Christ laid his life down. And many times we instantly are like, well, I'll die for my family. Yeah, you might die physically for your family. That's great, all right? What about your pride? Will you die to your pride for your family? You talk a big game, all right? But we live in America, all right? It's like one of the safest places to live in the world, all right? The fact that you'll come face to face with physical death, it could happen, all right? And I hope that you are willing. But at the end of the day, let's talk about some stuff that really applies to us, like pride, like lust, okay? Those are very real things, all right? Like control. Are we willing to die to those things for our wives, for our kids? Because at the end of the day, some of those things are some of the most important things that we're going to leave to our kids. The legacy that we leave. So Corbin, can you come up here real quick? Thanks, bro. Maybe stand right here. And so as a man, let's play some catch for a minute, all right? Yeah. As a man, this is what life should look like, all right? All the time, right? You and God, boom. Go long. God's like, go long. Go long. Yeah, go long. Keep on playing. Yeah, keep coming back. Oh, yeah. I knew that was going to happen. It like hit the lights. I was like, oh no. All right. Maybe you shouldn't go as long. All right. Maybe you should come. Don't worry. I'm the one that put it up. I can fix it. Okay. Don't worry. All right. Oh, that was crazy. Made me come up a little bit more. But this is what life should look like, right, with God. Men, do you see this? We're just like, we're playing catch all the time. All right. But what a lot of us do, all right, we play catch a lot. And then, why don't you look over there, Corbin? We're going to keep on playing catch, right? Yeah. And that's what happens. We play and we do good for a while. And then we're like, did everybody see that? I'm a good dude. I'm the man. All right. And we start doing this other thing where we start, because Corbin was actually looking over there. He was comparing himself to another guy that isn't doing as good of a job as him. He's like, I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm okay. And maybe it's other things, okay? It could be a lot of different things that we start looking at, that start creating this thing. And God's just like, hey, let's just play some catch, all right? Let me just teach you, all right? I want you to go along, and I'm just going to throw this thing, and I just want to teach you how to be a man. And we're just going to keep on doing it. This is a beautiful picture of what God wants to do with us as men, all right, all the time. And it's going to be little things, right? Little things that God is fashioning us and strengthening us in and building truth and building this thing. And there's so many temptations in the world just to get distracted by so many different things. So many different options that are out there. So many different voices that are out there. Everyone has a podcast these days, right? Sometimes I'll talk to people and they're like, yeah, but they got a podcast. I'm like, who gives a rip if they got a podcast, all right? Who gives a rip if they got a podcast? What kind of fruit do they have on their tree? I don't know. It's kind of hard to find. Well, maybe that should tell you something, right? Why? Because, like, I can go right now on Apple Podcasts and I'm like, start a podcast. Click, right? Podcast started. Let's go. Hey, what's up? My name is Brandon. I just want to talk to you today about wood and wood grain and how it applies to your life. Nobody's going to fact check me. Did you know that? Crazy. All right? So, it's important. I would say that it's vital to learn to spot and know the truth. All right? And I love Merritt Weiss has said this multiple times. What is something that's vital? It is vital to your life, right? When you go to the hospital, they check your vitals, right? If you don't have a heartbeat, you're gone. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody got that? It's vital, all right? So it's vital to know that. And as men, it's vital. Just keep playing catch with God. Just keep doing it. Every morning, everybody's like, morning. Does it have to be morning? Yeah, it does. Deal with it. Suck it up, buttercup. All right? Oh, yeah. But just keep on throwing catch with God. Open up your word. God, what do you have for me today? What do you got for me today? Speak me today. Do what only you can do today. Holy Spirit, I know that you've gone before me today. I'm not going to tell you, come with me. I'm going to go with you. All right? Novel idea. I'm going to let you lead me. I'm going to let you tell me what to do. This is what life looks like, okay? This is what it can look like. Don't we want that? Yeah. I want it. Thanks, Corbin. You can sit down. Give it up for Corbin. Such a good football player. And we want that. That's what we want. We want that. You know, we see this image of, like, and we think about, man, I want that kind of relationship with God. Like, as a heavenly father, I just want that. I want to play catch with him. I want him to tell me things. I want to hear that he's proud of me. I want to know his love and his care. I want to know another side of who he is. I believe that God's more than this God up in heaven that just, like, every once in a while says, okay, here you go. A relationship. I want that. And God's like, I'm there every day, all the time, whenever you want, let's play catch. And when we just play catch with them once a month, or once a week, or three times a week, or five times a week, yeah, I'm calling you out. Because sometimes we're like, oh, that's good enough. Yeah, I mean, if you want to play that game, that's not what we're talking about. I'm just talking about relationship. So one of the biggest things in church when we talk about grace is like, don't preach grace because then you're giving people permission to sin. But when you experience the grace of God, like a real revelation of the grace of God, all you want is God. And if all you want is God, you don't want anything to do with sin, all right? That's a paradigm shift, right? Because before, the law held us down, right? The law was like, you can't do this, 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 this. So that when we sin, we felt bad. But understanding grace understands the heart of God. And if you can get closer to the heart of God, you're not going to want to mess up. You're not going to want to do those things. All you're going to want to do is the things that are of God. Men, we've got to get out there. We've got to start playing some catch with God, all right? Women, you got to get out there. You got to start playing some catch with God. There's probably a better analogy for women, all right? But I'm a man, all right? And I know my position. And for men, for us in this room, we need this, all right? We all need to hear this. We need to be reminded of this, okay? We need to be this in our family. Because if we're not playing catch with God, and we're supposed to be leading our household, and what's leadership? It's example, right? If I just stand in front of my wife, Charity, and my daughter, Rosie, and say, all right, this is how it is. You're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. All right, I'm going to go play some video games. Video games aren't bad. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But if that's how I lead, that's not leadership, all right? My wife could go to get a job and have the same experience, all right? But last I checked, we were in a covenant, okay? So the best way that I can lead my household, my family, is get in the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God say about me? Take that in, let that become my identity, and then live that out and just cover them with it all day, every day, with the Word of God. And so then it's not so much about yelling at my kids as much as teaching them the Word of God. And if I do that from an early age, then I'll give them something that nobody can ever take away. And that's an acknowledgement and understanding of what real truth looks like. And I will not be perfect. We can't be. But we can strive to pursue Him with everything we got. So I would say, run the play. Run the play. Everyone in here, you have a play. If you're like, I don't have a play, go to Acts chapter 1. I'll give you your first play. Isn't the Bible good? You're like, wait, there's a play in there? The first play? Yes, there's the first play. And we're gonna be done with this today. Acts chapter 1. Oh, isn't God good? This is verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus is about to be ascended to heaven, okay? So these are his last words, okay? His last words to the disciples. And Jesus says to him, this is the last red letter before the start of the early church, okay? So this is it. Jesus says this to him. It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Amen? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Praise the Lord. And I love this scripture. Because Jesus is just so good. He's like, hey, I'm going to tell you what to do, and I'm going to give you everything you need. Isn't that good today? I'm going to tell you what you do. I'm going to give you everything you need, And he says, this is what you got to do, but I want you to know you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit to do it. And as believers, the free gift of salvation, along with that comes the free gift of the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to help teach you, to bring revelation, to give you supernatural courage and boldness when you're afraid or you feel like you can't say something or stand for something. That's the things that God will always give you when you call upon him. And there's no prerequisite in there. Did anybody read it? I didn't read any prerequisite. It didn't say, like, you have to go to Bible college for 17 years, you know, or even 6 months. It didn't say that, you know, you have to go do all of these things before you can get, or jump through all these hoops. It just says, hey, if you believe in me, if you're a disciple of me, if you are a Christian, if you've called on my name, I will give it to you. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Sharing testimonies. And that's exactly what they did. Literally, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And what is the first thing? You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. And Peter starts preaching to them. And speaks to them boldly. And that's what the rest of the New Testament's all about. It's the birth of the church. And so for all of us in the room, that's a simple place to start, all right? If you're like, I don't know what my play is, that's your first play, all right? You're like, wait, what, all right? That just means like when you go out to work this week, all right? When you're at the gas station, when you're at the grocery store, you just start being a witness, all right? What's a witness? Well, first off, it's an example, all right? So watch your mouth, okay? Watch your actions. You're like, well, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal if I say this or that. Yeah, it is kind of, all right? Yeah, it's like pretty huge because you want to set yourself apart from the rest of the world, all right? Did everybody hear that today? Somebody's like, oh, man, he's calling me out. Yeah, I am calling you out, all right? Like, I just curse all the time. Well, stop, all right? Get some accountability, all right? Have somebody help you out, all right? Allow yourself to be set apart from God, all right? Does that make sense? And somebody might be like, well, you're being so legalistic. I'm not being legalistic. I'm just trying to teach you how to set yourself apart, all right? Your words and your actions should be different than the world. So if you sound and look like the world, how is anybody ever going to know to ask what's different? Did you hear me? This is the most practical, foundational piece of bringing people to Jesus is by our testimony, the way that we live our life, okay? And trust me, we all have room, including myself, to work on this, okay? So don't beat yourself up, just start working on it, all right? And remember, iron sharpens iron, so if you need somebody to keep you accountable, go find a guy or a girl that you can, and be it. Girls, find a girl, guy, find a guy, all right? And be accountable. Say, hey, I suck at this right now. I want to do better. I'm like, okay, we'll help you be better, all right? Like, don't worry, we got you, okay? Everybody got that? So be a witness, be a testimony. Show the light of God. Step out of your comfort zone. Say, hey, I just wanted you to know, you have a beautiful smile. I bet that brings happiness to a lot of people, you know? They can be very simple things that let people know I'm seen. Somebody, you know, people, they are starved for attention, starved to be recognized. And in this church, I love how close of a family this is. Like when you walk into this room, you're just recognized. I love that. That's such a huge gift, such a beautiful gift that we have in the body of Christ. Let's share that with people. Invite people to church to be able to experience that. Experience and understanding. Some of you are like, man, I just have this incredible church. Like everybody in this room, people online, you're like, man, I get to see these people every week. There are people, they see like 2 people a week, period. Some people don't see anybody ever. Let that rock around in your cranium for a while. So let them experience this. Amen? You know, men, we're going to a men's breakfast on March 28th. Invite somebody to come with you. Men's breakfast, April 25th, invite them to come. Women, we'll be doing women's stuff, don't worry. But inviting people to those things, family nights, those kind of things, because to an outreach, go with Pastor Mike to give food downtown, get people, because some people, like, they will not step into a church because they're, like, worried they're going to get, like, struck by lightning, you know? So get them out. There's tons of other things that we do, being the church. Get them involved in that. Amen? What's up there? Oh, there it is. Yeah, I'm dressing up. I'm going to get a handlebar. Anyway, it's going to be beautiful. But today, run the play, okay? Can we just take a moment? Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes for just a moment. Just to focus on God, but just to honor today. If there's anybody in the house today that doesn't know Jesus, that wants to know him today, if you've never made that decision, I want to give you a chance for that. You know, I might not see you online, but same thing. If you want to make a decision for Jesus Christ today, it's as simple as just asking him to be the number one thing in your life. You know, in church, we just say getting saved, asking Jesus to come in your heart. But what you're doing is you're making him the number one, the biggest priority in your life. And when you do that, things change. So if there's anybody in the room, say, I want to make that decision today. Can you just lift up your hand and say, that's me today? I'd love to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. Anybody in here today? All right. I don't see anybody in here, but if somebody said it on live stream, I can't see them. So we're going to say this prayer. And if you're in the body of Christ, just say it just to encourage the people around you. If you didn't raise your hand, you can still say it. You didn't miss out. It's from your heart. It's not so much the words that we speak, but from the heart in which we speak. Say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I need you. I recognize that you died on a cross for me, the death that I deserved. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I make you the number one thing in my life. I give you priority over everything. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son Jesus for me. That you have a purpose, a plan, and a position in the body of Christ for me. Use me. Use me. And I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Fill me. I want your power to give me courage and boldness everywhere I go, to lay hands on the sick and that they are healed, to preach the good news of what you've done in my life. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, amen. So as we leave today, go run some plays, okay? Go run some plays. Go run some plays. Go run some plays. And while you're at it, why don't you make sure you show up for practice? Why don't you do the work? Hit the gym, okay? Do what you got to do. I think you got all those analogies, right? But let's go be the best player that we can be on the team. Amen? Amen? We love you. Wednesday night, and of course, we'll be back here next Sunday. Have an incredible, incredible week. And if you need prayer for anything whatsoever, come on down front. We are a church where God does miracles all the time. So come on down. We'd love to pray for you. Have a great day.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we'd love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.